Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to The Danny Parkin Show.
All right, let's do this. It is The Danny Parkin Show on CBS Sports Radio, Sirius 206 Radio.com Sports. How y'all doing this evening? I appreciate you hanging out with me. I'm coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. My name is Danny Parkins. You can follow me on Twitter at Danny Parkins. You can interact with me on there as well. Also, the network at CBS Sports Radio. Those of you who are just getting done with Game of Thrones and turning on the radio, I appreciate you, but no spoilers. I will be watching in the morning. We got a lot to get into this evening. We're going to start NBA playoffs. I will then talk about how Major League Baseball messed up a very sensitive situation, but I had no faith in their ability to take care of it. That, of course, the Tim Anderson suspension. We'll get to that in an hour. Michael Lombardi will join me in 2 hours. Michael Lee, senior NBA writer covering the NBA playoffs for The Athletic, in 40 minutes. But I want to start with what feels like an inevitability in the NBA playoffs, because I'm a diehard NBA fan, but I always ease in to the playoffs. Like, I watch, but I don't watch edge of my seat, because we know what's great about the NBA is that it crowns the truest champion in sports. The Super Bowl is the biggest champion in North American sports. It's the biggest event, but it's single elimination. The NCAA tournament is probably my favorite tournament. It's the best for gambling, but it's single elimination amateur athletics. It certainly doesn't crown the truest champion. It just crowns the hottest team at the time. College football's gotten better since it's added a playoff, but there's really only two teams who deserve to be there, Bama and Clemson right now, but that's doing a nice job of giving us what we want. Major League Baseball is not really representative of its regular season. You get 162 games boiled down to a best of one in the wild card, best of five in the first round, and then ultimately best of seven in the World Series. Again, it can reward not necessarily the best team, but the hottest team. The NBA playoffs crowns the true champion. It crowns the best team. Best of seven all the way through. Basketball, it plays out more to its seed and the best players the vast majority of the time. It's really rare for a low seed to advance even one round in the NBA playoffs, much less all the way to the conference finals or the NBA finals. Doesn't mean it's not fun, and I'm still having a lot of fun watching it. Like, Giannis's dominance has been fun. Detroit just has no chance. They're just totally overwhelmed by a team that's locked in on both ends of the floor, and Giannis is stunting on everybody, and it's great to see, because even though he's been in the playoffs before, this whole season has felt like the Giannis coming out party on the world stage. He's going to win MVP, I think, and this playoff performance looks to be dominant, and if he carries the Bucks all the way to the NBA Finals, he will get a platform that he truly deserves that isn't afforded to him in Milwaukee just because of its market size. Utah-San Antonio feels largely irrelevant. The Eastern Conference playoffs overall, even though we've had some fun in the Nets-Sixers series with trash talk, Dudley and Simmons and the whole thing, I'm all about the second round in the East, because the East feels wide open, even though Boston swept Indiana and Milwaukee and has been dominant against Detroit. Philly, Toronto, Boston, Milwaukee, I'm not sure. I haven't been sure all year. I think Milwaukee is the best team. They obviously have the best record. They obviously have the best player, but they don't have the playoff experience. Philly has the most talented starting five, but not much depth. Toronto has an insane amount of depth, and Boston's playing its best basketball of the season and has the best coach, and Hayward is finally starting to look like Gordon Hayward. So the East is wide open, which has led to, I think, a lot of intrigue, because even though most of us think the Warriors are going to win it again, it does feel more wide open than it has three of the last 4 years or so. And then the game that's going on right now has clearly been the most fun series of the first round. Blazers Thunder has been great. You've had chippiness, you've had close games, and you've had the game within the game, which is arguably my favorite part of the NBA. When a one-on-one game can break out in the midst of a team game. Not for the whole time. You want to see team basketball and ball movement, and you have. But the machismo, the mano-a-mano, the you-know-what measuring contest, frankly, the who's the better point guard contest, which has been playing out Russell Westbrook v. Damian Lillard in Blazers Thunder, has just been spectacular theater. They've been rocking the baby. They've been trash-talking Damian Lillard. Russell Westbrook and Paul George have been being petulant children to the media. There's been trash talk. There's been shoving. There's been like referee skirmishes. The whole thing's been great. I think Damian Lillard is a better player than Russell Westbrook, even though it's really close. I think Damian Lillard is one of the most underrated players in the entire NBA, who somehow has only been to four NBA All-Star games, because the point guard position has just been so stacked in the Western Conference for forever, and because the All-Star game can be a bit of a personality contest, and just like Giannis gets overlooked by some until this year because he's in Milwaukee, I think Dame gets overlooked by some because he's in Portland. But to me, the only players in the NBA definitively better than Damian Lillard are LeBron James, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, James Harden, Giannis, AD, and Kawhi. Those seven. Those are the only seven that are definitively better than Damian Lillard. And then any given night, any given week, any given month, any given stretch, Kyrie, Russell Westbrook, Joel Embiid, that second tier of NBA superstar. The guys who you think should be perennial all-stars, that have the Paul George, that have the ability to show up on all NBA teams. But there's that tier one of seven stars: LeBron, Steph, KD, Harden, Giannis, AD, Kawhi. And then I think that in contention for eighth best player in the NBA, Damian Lillard's right there with a group of people. And so seeing him and Russ go back to back and back and forth and pulling up from 27 feet and trash talking has been spectacular. But I got a question for you at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to The Danny Parkin Show.
All right, welcome back in. It's The Danny Parkin Show, CBS Sports Radio, where our toll-free line is 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. I apologize for my mistake in the last segment. I wanted to open it up for you guys because while I think the NBA playoffs have been compelling early, they get more compelling, obviously, as they go, because the NBA playoffs crown the truest champion. But this year is going to be unique, and I'll tell you why. In 2016, the NBA playoffs changed how they do their bracket, and it's a true bracket now. So 1-8 is matched up with the winner of the 4-5 series, and the 2-7 is matched up with the winner of the 3-6 series. So regardless of if there's any sort of upsets in the playoffs, there's no reseeding. So the Warriors are going to beat the Clippers in 5, and they will get the winner of Rockets Jazz, regardless of what happens in Spurs Nuggets or the Thunder Blazers series. So, because the Rockets got the 4 seed, they're going to get the Warriors in round two. And I don't know about you, and I'm sure Bucks fans would disagree. I'm sure Celtics fans would disagree. Maybe Raptors fans, maybe Sixers fans, and I'd love to hear if anyone else in the West disagreed. I know Charles Barkley thinks that the Blazers are coming out of the West, but Chuck's just a hater. I think that the de facto NBA finals this year are going to be the second round of the Western Conference finals. The second round of the Western Conference playoffs, more accurately. Not even the Western Conference finals. Which is crazy. And I'm curious if you think the NBA playoffs is going to give us anything better than Warriors-Rockets round two. 855-212-4CBS is the number. 855-212-4227. Because Giannis has been dominant and that's fun. Damian Lillard against Russell Westbrook is fun. Utah-San Antonio feels irrelevant. The Eastern Conference playoffs feel wide open. But the top of the Western Conference bracket is going to give us Warriors-Rockets in round two. And I think the winner of that series is going to win the NBA Finals. I wonder if you agree or disagree. 855-212-4227. Because I think people forget how great the Western Conference Finals was last year. Even though there were games that were blowouts. It was a really weird series, but it was a really memorable series. Both teams attempted over 250 three-pointers in a seven-game series. So there are 500-plus three-pointers attempted in a seven-game series. So just right there. It went seven. And if you remember, the Rockets were up 3-2. They won game five, and Chris Paul got hurt in game five. Now, Game 7 was the worst three-point shooting performance in NBA playoff history, where the Rockets went 7 of 44 from 3, and the Rockets lost Game 7 at home. But the Warriors were down 3-2 at home for Game 6. Game 4 was a three-point game. Game 5 was a four-point game. But with how those two teams shoot threes, you're never out of it. No team's out of it, and I know these are, you know, ifs and nuts, candies and buts, that sort of thing, but if Chris Paul doesn't get hurt in Game 5, the Rockets win that series. If the Rockets don't have the worst three-point shooting performance in NBA playoff history in Game 7, the Rockets win that series. And while this Rockets team all year hasn't been nearly as good as last year's Rockets team was all year, obviously last year's Rockets team was the one seed in the Western Conference playoffs, this team's been ridiculous since James Harden has gone Superman. Chris Paul is back. They're not quite as dynamic from three, but they're shooting just as many threes as they had in the past. I mean, they're shooting through three games in the NBA, they're shooting 43 three-pointers a game. 43 of them. That's more than the Warriors, and how Daryl Morey, the general manager of the Houston Rockets, built the Rockets was basically they were going to try to out-Warriors the Warriors. Now, they play a different style of basketball, whereas the Warriors have a lot of ball movement and slashing. The Rockets have the best one-on-one player in the NBA and one of the best one-on-one players in NBA history in James Harden. He lives at the free throw line. They spread a guy's out. He drives and kicks. He dribbles 500 times a game, literally. So it's a totally different brand of basketball, but they get to the same thing. Three is worth more than two. Try to hit threes at a high percentage. Operate around Hall of Fame talents in Chris Paul and James Harden and shoot a ton of threes. Eric Gordon had a disappointing season, but he's been playing fairly well in the playoffs. They've got some size in length in Capella and PJ Tucker. House has been playing better. Fareed has been playing just sparing minutes. Rivers plays sparing minutes. But they've got a decent amount of depth, a decent amount of length, and they shoot a ton of threes. And James Harden is unguardable. So if the game is close and they need a basket, they've got a guy that, sure, Durant will try, Draymond will try, But it's been proven. I mean, no one in the NBA can guard James Harden one-on-one. I think the Rockets are playing well enough, and the Warriors have lost enough depth up front with the DeMarcus Cousins injury and some of the guys that they've lost overall, that this year, if this Warriors team was facing the same thing that last year's Warriors team was facing, I don't think they overcome it and win. Because last year's team got the Chris Paul injury, they got the historic futility from three from the Rockets in Game 7, and this year's Warriors team knows it's their last dance because it seems inevitable that Kevin Durant's leaving, which makes me think that if they get punched square in the mouth and they shake on their feet, they maybe don't recover. Whereas last year's team knew they were in it together and it was unlikely that they were going to unravel. This year's team could unravel. They know that there's a finish line for it, and I could see the Rockets beating them. Now, out east, I don't know. I don't think the Bucks have enough playoff experience. I don't think the Sixers have enough three-point shooting. Toronto has so much depth and length that it'd be interesting. Philly, I don't think, has the depth. Boston, by the time they get there, maybe, because they would have had to have played so well to get there and they'd played so much better than they did in the regular season. Like I said, the East, I feel like, is wide open, but I don't think either of those teams can win shootouts against either the Rockets or the Warriors. So it's a weird year in the NBA. I really think that the NBA Finals is going to come down to a second-round Western Conference playoff series. 855-212-4227 is the number. Do you think the NBA playoffs will give us anything better than Warriors-Rockets in round two? Tom in Pennsylvania, you're on the Danny Parkin Show. Thanks for calling,
man. Danny, how you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Hey, I wanted to comment on the playoffs here. Out of the East there, you know, I believe it's going to be a lot better out there than you believe. I think we're going to see some really good games with Milwaukee coming out on top. I mean, Giannis, the Bucks, I love that team. I think they're going to come out of there cleanly with no problem. And out in the West there, I don't know if the Warriors will get past Houston. Now, with DeMarcus Cousins hurt, that bothered me a lot. But if they get through that, I still think Milwaukee and the Warriors will be a great series out there. And I almost guarantee you that they will come out of the East and get out to the playoffs. I really do believe that.
But and do you think? Okay, you got Milwaukee coming out of the East, and they're the one seed overall.
Sir.
But do you think Milwaukee gives the Warriors a tough matchup?
I do, because I'll tell you what: 3 years in a row in the playoffs or in the finals, 4 years in the playoffs, they get a little bit soft. You know, without LeBron out of there, they're kind of relaxed because you know it's been their nemesis for years. Houston almost did it last year. Now you made the comment in Game 5. When CP got hurt. Well, they were doing really good. I thought they were going to take that until that happened.
Yeah, so did I.
So I think this year, you know, I mean, they know their number. And as you said, nobody can stop one-on-one the man. You know what I mean? Nobody stops Harden one-on-one. And in a close battle, as you said, both teams have a guy that can put it away. And three is worth more than two. Both of those teams pound the threes. And I believe we're going to see a really great final this year, better than before.
Tom, I appreciate the call, man. Listen, I'm not saying I'll stop watching. I love it. Like I'm watching this round. I just think that it's a unique year in that I think the best threat to the Warriors is the team they're going to face in the second round of the playoffs because of just how the bracket broke. And while I'd love to see Milwaukee get a shot, and they do shoot a lot of threes, and they do have a lot of length, and they have a decent amount of depth. And Giannis is an absolute freak of nature. I would just be surprised if they have enough playoff experience to get over the hump in their first real year as contenders. That's not normally how it works in the NBA. By the way, Michael Lee, senior NBA writer for The Athletic, is going to join us coming up at about 10:40 Eastern time. He's been covering the NBA playoffs. He'll weigh in on this conversation. And I'm not even rooting against the Warriors. I think the Warriors are fun. I root for greatness. I think the Warriors are the most talented collection of players probably in modern NBA history. I think it's spectacular.
They had three Hall of Famers, and they added the second best player in the world at the time in Kevin Durant to add a fourth Hall of Famer. It's a cheat code. But I respect the Rockets arguably more than any team in the NBA. Because so many teams, we saw it for years in the Eastern Conference with LeBron. Teams cowered against LeBron. Teams tanked against LeBron. Teams just, they kicked the can down the road. They said they couldn't win as long as LeBron was in the East. Well, in the West, the Warriors became a cheat code. They were an NBA champion. They set the wins record, and then they added Kevin Durant. And a lot of teams cowered. A lot of teams traded assets. A lot of teams said, it's going to be a while. But Daryl Morey did not care. He did not cower. He said, we're going after him. I've got James Harden in his prime. I'm the most aggressive outside-the-box thinker in the entire league. I'm trading for Chris Paul. They shoot 35 threes a game. I'm shooting 40. They play at X pace. I'm playing at X pace plus 10%. He tried to out-Warriors the Warriors. And honestly, in a league that does reward tanking and rewards bottoming out, where the champion is often predetermined, in an era of LeBron James, arguably best talent in the history of the sport, and simultaneously the era of the Warriors, arguably most talented team in the history of the sport, it would have been really easy for Daryl Morey and the Houston Rockets to say, we got one superstar. The Warriors have 3.5, and LeBron is a dynasty all of it itself. We're going to tear this thing down, or we're going to just pace ourselves and concede that there's a ceiling on what they can accomplish. They didn't do that. And I think that people forget how close last year's Western Conference Finals was when we talk about the dominance of how Kevin Durant broke the NBA. The Warriors did lose 3-1. They lost that lead to LeBron, right? And they should have lost in the Western Conference Finals last year. So it's been a dominant dynasty, and it's felt easy at times, unquestionably. But the Warriors should have lost in the Western Conference playoffs last year to the Rockets, and I think people forget that. It took an injury and a historically bad shooting performance. As long as those two things don't happen again, I think the NBA Finals is coming up in the second round of the Western Conference playoffs. We'll see if Michael Lee, senior NBA writer for The Athletic, agrees. That's coming up next.
You're listening to The Danny Parkin Show.
Thanks for hanging out on The Danny Parkin Show, CBS Sports Radio, Sirius 206, the radio.com sports app, which you need to have, by the way. If you don't have the radio.com app, how are you going to get all your favorite Entercom and radio.com sports stations, tons of exclusive content, the best in local sports talk all over the country? Whenever there's a big sports story, I tune in to whatever the local station is that's breaking it down right there through the radio.com sports app. I'm based here out of Chicago, 670 The Score, where I do afternoons. You can follow me on Twitter at Danny Parkins, interact with the network at CBS Sports Radio. We're hoping to talk to Michael Lee, senior NBA writer for The Athletic, in a matter of moments on the NBA playoffs. The last game of the day, it's at halftime, 52-46, Blazers on top of the Thunder. Damian Lillard having a poor shooting start to the game, but has 7.7 assists and 3 rebounds. The Blazers and Thunder again in a 4-point game. I think Damian Lillard is in a weird spot where he somehow is a superstar who's underrated. And there's a few guys like that in the NBA, right? Like, Joel Embiid is not underrated because he's so popular. He's so well known. He's active on social media and he's out there. He's on the East Coast. He's often featured in those, the early ESPN or TNT games. Like, Joel Embiid as a top 10, 11, 12 player in the NBA, somewhere in that range, I think is properly rated. The guys at the absolute top, LeBron, Steph, Kevin Durant, James Harden, Giannis, those guys are properly rated.
I think Kawhi Leonard is, you know, obviously a guy who's underrated in terms of his stature, but he played in so many high-profile games for the Spurs. I think most NBA fans respect and appreciate where he is. But if I was going to say of the true superstars in the game, the two that I would say are the most underrated while simultaneously being superstars, like top 12 players in the game, it would be Damian Lillard of Portland and Anthony Davis of New Orleans. Anthony Davis, just lack of playoff success, and Damian Lillard, I have no idea why, but that guy is among the most fun players in the entire damn league to watch, and they've been the best part of round one of the NBA playoffs, the game within the game, Damian Lillard against Russell Westbrook. But let's talk to Michael Lee, senior NBA writer for The Athletic, at Mr. Michael Lee on Twitter, one of the best NBA writers and NBA Twitter follows that you can possibly have. Michael, thanks so much for making some time during the playoffs on the Danny Parkin Show. How you doing tonight?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
So what's the best thing you've seen so far in the playoffs?
Man, the Milwaukee Bucks. I mean, I know they aren't really playing playing an inferior opponent, but they're taking care of business, and I think that's what you're supposed to do at this level. They're not having any slippage, and they've just been totally dominant. And I think when you look at a franchise that is on the verge of winning its first playoff series in 18 years, they kind of got the weight of expectations starting to come down on them. But they've been steady all season, and I just think that this is just an example of just how steady and consistent they've been all year. There is no slip-ups. There is no mental lapse. They're just going after it. And so I've really been impressed with what I've seen in them the last couple weeks when everyone kind of realized that they were going to clinch the number one seed, but also just how they've just maintained a level head through it all and in a laser-sharp focus.
Do you think they're the favorites to come out of the East?
Well, I say that, and they're about to face the Boston Celtics, which is the team that I've sort of been siding with as possibly winning the East pretty much all year because of their talent. And I think it's going to be a really good contrast where you have this steady team that's been consistent all year, and it's completely just inconsistent squad that's just been frustrating all year, but you know has the talent to be better. So that right now the Celtics are playing good ball too. They completely sweep the Pacers. And you wonder if now, all of a sudden, this is the time to start believing in them because things are starting to click and guys are starting to really have confidence in their talent and starting to block out all the other noise about Kyrie's free agency or anything else that may be affecting them. Shots, playing time, opportunity, everybody's kind of on the same page right now. And I think that's going to be a really interesting series. So the second round of the Eastern Conference playoffs, I think it's probably been the most anticipated part because there are four teams that we've sort of been locked into watching, all year, and they're actually going to meet head-to-head in some series that I can't say I'm more excited. I'm really excited to see them go head-to-head.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the Eastern Conference is wide open. I think most people agree with that. And there's huge free agent ramifications in some of these series.
Absolutely.
Who do you think – has their free agent decision most directly tied to the outcome of how far or not far their team goes in the playoffs?
Philadelphia and Toronto. I mean, but Philadelphia for the most part because they've actually gone all in on this season. They sacrificed future assets. They sacrificed players, draft picks, everything to get stars for right now, and they could wind up being rentals with Tobias Harris leaving or Jimmy Butler leaving. They both have the option to go elsewhere. J.J. Redick will be a free agent too. The only certainty in Philadelphia right now is Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, which is their foundation. It's a great foundation to have if you're going to do anything in this league, just having two all-stars to start with. But they want to have, some superstar or at least star talent, surrounding them. And I think that's It's going to be interesting to see how far they go because the owner or the managing partner, Josh Harris, has already declared that they have to be better than they did last year, which means they have to get past the second round. So there's already a mandate, and they've said that they're committed to this group and keeping it together. But it'll be interesting to see what happens if, say, Toronto kind of handles them easily. Do you really want to make a huge financial investment in a team whose ceiling might just be the second round?
Michael Lee, senior NBA writer for The Athletic, is our guest. So you think there's a scenario where Kawhi stays in Toronto, or is he just impossible to figure out?
Everyone has been saying from the day he was traded by the San Antonio Spurs, Kawhi's going to the Clippers.
Right.
Like that's what everyone is saying, but no one is actually getting that directly from Kawhi. They're getting it from people around Kawhi or people who maybe feel like they know Kawhi. But, you know, Kawhi is really guarded, and you know, he's a tough guy to read. And you can't just say, well, if Toronto wins the championship, how can he leave that? He left the Spurs where he won a championship. He won a championship in San Antonio and said, I'm out. So he's a difficult guy to read. I think he's always, I guess the sentiment is that he wants to be home and playing in Los Angeles, but not necessarily for the Lakers. So I think Toronto feels like they're going to be positive. They're going to be optimistic that he sticks around. But, you know, Kawhi is just a difficult guy to read. And I can't say that playoff success one way or another is going to affect his decision. Because he does what he wants to do. And Toronto, to me, seems like the perfect fit because he gets to maintain his anonymity, you know, and still, you know, just be Kawhi without having to worry about all the other stuff, all the ancillary stuff that comes with being a star.
Yeah, and he certainly would have to deal with that in L.A., but like you said, it's home. Speaking of the Western Conference now, do you consider Warriors-Rockets second round a de facto NBA Finals?
No, because I honestly think that the team, whoever comes out of the East, if they're going to have a legit chance of making it a tough series or possibly win a championship if the Rockets are somehow able to upset the Warriors. So I'm not discrediting these teams in the East. They're legit. All four of those teams that will look like they're going to get out of the first round are teams that I could see, you know, going all the way. So I'm not going to discount them in any way. But it is going to be the best series that we have left, I think, in the West, because the Rockets are probably among the remaining teams. They're the most fearless when it comes to the Warriors. They don't look at them as some juggernaut that can't be beaten. They know that they came very close last year before Chris Paul got hurt. They're up 3-2, and they had every right to believe they were going to win that series. And I remember James Harden said right after that, you know, he thought about that loss. Game 6 and Game 7, he thought about those losses all summer, and that's all he was focused on, was getting the opportunity to see that team again. So if he gets the opportunity to play them, you know he's going to want to give it to them, you know, because that's the team that's been knocking him out of the playoffs for the last couple of years. Chris Paul obviously has his history with the Clippers. So these guys, they want the Warriors, and that's the thing that stands out probably more than anybody else. Not that they will, you know, take the fact that they're there. They want beat them. So I think that's going to make it an intriguing series.
Yeah, I think it's the de facto finals because I love the East and I think it's wide open. I do. They're not afraid, like you said. Chris Paul doesn't get hurt. And they went 7-for-44 from three in Game 7 at home last year. Like, so if Chris Paul doesn't get hurt and they don't have the worst shooting performance in NBA playoff history from three, they win that series. I just think it's going to be a classic. Though I will say, this Houston team is different than last year's in, I think, some meaningful ways. What do you think the key differences are there?
Well, I mean, they have more depth. They were able to create depth on the fly this season. You know, picking up Austin Rivers and Kenneth Faried. You know, last year they really just kind of had like a six-man rotation because guys were getting so banged up towards the end. But now they actually have – they don't have to just lean on James Harden to just do all the heavy lifting, and I think that was evident in Game 3 against the Utah Jazz where he misses his first 15 shots. They still come out with the victory because they have other guys that can make plays and make shots, and I think that's sort of what they've been building for. You know, a lot of times when you establish, you know, say a super team or some kind of all-star alliance, it's not always the first year where things click and it just goes. You have a lot more success. It's that second year when guys have that trust and that familiarity, and they know each other. They know what they can count on. They know who they can depend on. And I think that's sort of where Houston is now, where they don't have to think twice about what the next man's going to do. They can just go out there and just focus on their jobs, and it's going to be done.
Do you think the Warriors are affected by the thought that Kevin Durant leaving is inevitable?
They were the number one seed in the West. they're about to handle the Clippers. I don't think they're worried about it at all. I think they've known from the beginning of training camp that it's a possibility that Kevin Durant's going to leave. I remember being in New York when they went there for they played the Knicks and the Nets in back-to-back games. And the minute he walked in the Madison Square Garden locker room, Andre Iguodala sees Kevin Durant and says, "Welcome home." they were already joking about it back in October. So it's not like something that it was that they can't handle. I mean, these are veterans. These are guys who understand the business and they understand what Kevin Durant is and who he is. You know, the same way, you know, when he's letting everybody know, y'all know who I am. Like, he made it clear his last two games, you know, getting 71 points. Like, we know who you are, Kevin. We know. His teammates know who he is too. And, now obviously there have been moments with him and Draymond and they bumped heads over it. I think a lot of it was related to free agency. But I think after a while, everyone just realized, you know, even if he does leave, why not try to make the most of what you are right now? It sort of feels like the last dance no matter what. But if it's not and Kevin decides to stay, then it's all gravy. But if you have a chance to win 4 championships in 5 years and 3 in a row, who cares what happens next year? You can't think about next year anyway because nothing's promised beyond this point anyway.
Yeah, that was so badass when KD said that, and I was thinking that he could turn it into a whole branding thing. Like, you know who I am.
He might. I'm pretty sure Nike sit back going, just doing the Birdman hand rub, like, oh yeah, we got one.
Yeah, seriously, because if LeBron has relinquished his throne as consensus best player in the NBA, to me, there's only two guys who really could take that crown. It's KD or Giannis.
Yeah, I mean, and I think KD should have it. I mean, Giannis has a ways to go, you know, because I think a lot of people are ready to crown him, but KD's already got 2 championships, 2 finals MVPs, and he's got a regular season MVP, and he's been doing it for over a decade. So I know that it's just great that Giannis is probably going to win the MVP this year, but I don't think you can put him ahead of Kevin Durant when you look at what he's done. I mean, the body of work speaks for itself, 4 scoring championships. So I think Kevin has earned it, and he's beaten LeBron. I mean, that's the other thing too. He's 2-1 against LeBron in the finals. So, you know, if anybody's next in line, it's KD.
Follow this man on Twitter at Mr. Michael Lee. Read everything that he writes. He's worth the subscription to The Athletic all by himself. Senior NBA writer
Thanks,
for
The
man, Athletic.
Michael. I got 5 hours for you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no worries, man. I do appreciate your work. And I don't know how you can follow sports and not subscribe to The Athletic. So I stand for you guys. Appreciate you.
Yeah, appreciate you, man. Thank you.
All right. That's Michael Lee from The Athletic. Fantastic stuff, fantastic insight. He travels around and covers the NBA as well as everyone, blends that reporter columnist thing, threads that needle very nicely. All right, we're going to have a nuanced, complicated conversation coming up. That's what Sports Talk Radio is known for. And it's sad that I have absolutely zero expectation that Major League Baseball has the ability to grasp nuance. Even if you're not a baseball fan, you'll be able to participate. It's the Danny Parkin Show, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.